Shall we pause for prayer? Oh God, we have heard this story every year. We thank you that it is like new each time we hear it. It is full, it is rich, and it has so much for us. We ask your blessing upon the words that are shared this morning. And so may all that we say and do be glorifying to you. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Throughout his life on earth, people were asking Jesus, who are you? Who are you really? If you remember back, Jesus was at a hearing in front of the high priest, Caiaphas, and he said to Jesus, are you the Christ? Son of God? And then later during the trial, the judge Pontius Pilate said, are you the king of the Jews? Who is this mystery man? No one seems to know for certain. Remember the Samaritan woman at the well? She said, I perceive that you are a prophet, because he seemed to know all about her, even though she had never met him before in her life. Finally, in Matthew 16, Jesus puts the question to the disciples and says, who do people say that I am? And the answer that he got was varied. Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some say other prophets. Then Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? And at that point, it was Peter who stood up and said that you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. But this was the same guy who said later three times, I don't know him. I don't know what he does. I don't know what he's about. So people have different perceptions of who Jesus was. We have different perceptions of who he was and who he is. Who do we see Jesus as now, today? Now we know that Jesus is truly a man for all seasons. He is a man of many facets. He is complicated. He is complex. He is sophisticated. But at the same time, he is simple. He is humble. And he is tranquil. Many of us like to see Jesus as the calm, tranquil, gentle, humble Christ. We see him preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers and the merciful. Jesus says, let the children come unto me. My peace I give you, not as the world gives. In an act of humility and service, he washes the disciples' feet. Jesus the shepherd who leads us into the meadow. Jesus who leads us beside the grassy knolls. The shepherd who in Psalm 23 leads us beside still waters. We like to see Jesus as the one who leads us away from stress, away from danger, away from chaos, and away from the rat race. Jesus leads us to a place of comfort and happiness. And ultimately, we like to see the Jesus who takes us to heaven, away from this world. Other people like to see Jesus as the agitator, as the activist, or the angry Jesus. As an activist, he socializes with the Samaritan woman. He socializes with the Syrophoenician woman, with the outcasts, with the oppressed, the ostracized, the stranger, the foreigner, the outsider. Jesus did not exclude people. He reached out to different people, and he entered into relationships with them. He mixed with lepers, tax collectors, the unclean, and the worst of the worst of society. And at the same time, he had no patience for the hierarchy or the religious higher-ups, Pharisees and Sadducees. He gets angry with them. He chews out the Pharisees, and he says, you brood of vipers, who warned you of the wrath to come? He shows some emotion when he goes into the temple and he sees that they are selling things and he turns over the tables. He says, this is a house of prayer, and the coins go flying. Or the angry side of him that comes out when he curses the fig tree for not bearing fruit. So this Jesus that people see is the Jesus that afflicts the comfortable, moves them, makes them to see that they can make a difference and calling them to society. Jesus as the justice Jesus. Others prefer to see Jesus as more the miracle worker. Heal the sick, restore sight to the blind, help the lame to rise and walk, that the dumb can speak, the demons are cast out. He feeds the multitudes. He calls Lazarus from the tomb, sets captives free. He quiets the raging storm. He calms the violent sea. And the disciple says, wow, who is this guy? That even the waves and the wind listen to him. Jesus, the divine master, who is full of power and might, full of authority. But then there are those who like to see him more as the teacher, more as a rabbi, more as the philosopher, more as the storyteller or the parable giver. Talking about seeds, talking about the mustard seed, talking about the prodigal son, the lost coin, the good Samaritan, the vine, and the branches. How hard it is for the rich, sort of like how hard it is for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. And he talks about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God in the images of yeast and wedding feasts. Jesus, the source of inspiration, the guide for everyday life. A sage, a prophet, a spiritual wisdom giver, or is he challenging the intellect, encouraging us to think and reflect and examine life? And so before the crucifixion, people saw him in one of these ways. But now that he's risen, now that he's victorious, now that he has conquered death, is he a different Jesus? Do we see a different Jesus? Which Jesus do we identify with? And do we see him differently now? When Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the grave, they weren't expecting to see a risen Lord. In Mark and Luke's version, it said that they brought spices. What they were expecting to see was a corpse, a dead body. And the spices were to make it smell better, to preserve it, and to make final preparations for the burial and the ritual. Because he died, his life was over. They visited him to bring closure to their relationship with him, because death was final. Death was permanent. Death was end of chapter, end of story. It is finished. But what they experienced was completely different than what they were expecting. They encountered a great surprise. And what they saw was something supernatural and miraculous. As they were there, suddenly an earthquake happened and erupted, and an angel of the Lord flew down from heaven, rolled away the stone, and sat on the stone. And the angel was like lightning, and his appearance was white as snow. What did they see? What they saw was beyond their wild imaginations, beyond their expectations. It must have been terrifying and dramatic, but beautiful all at the same time. It was death-defying, earth-shattering. It was life-changing. And then the angel spoke and said, "Do not be afraid, because I know you have come to see Jesus who's crucified, but he is no longer here. He has risen just as he said he would. Go quickly, tell his disciples, for he is now going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there." Why have we come this morning? Why are we here? We want to see the risen Lord. We want to experience the risen Christ. We want to praise God, and we want to share in that glory of the risen Lord. According to the Matthew account, their experience transcended all other experiences they had of him. So it was a different Jesus. And that what they found was a great surprise, a great miracle, a great power, a great beauty. When we believe in Jesus, when we follow Jesus, when we decide to seek out Jesus, there will be great miracles, great power, great beauty, great surprise in store for us. Unlike any that we have ever experienced, beyond our expectations, beyond our imaginations, power, meaning, and beauty in our lives will take on a whole different realm, dimension. The part I like, which is mentioned, is it says that Jesus, the resurrected Lord, went ahead of them. And then if you keep reading, Jesus meets them and greets them. As we seek out Jesus, as we believe in him, as we want to be his disciples, he goes ahead of us. And at some appointed time, he will meet us and greet us. It may be several times, actually, down the road. But he cares so much because he knows our path, he knows our life, and he cares so much that he's going ahead of us to meet us down that path at that appointed time for whatever purpose. And when we do meet him, what will we find? Scripture probably intends to mean that we don't know when we meet him, but we will be surprised. And what we find is to be discovered. Life leads to discovery, discovering meaning for our lives, discovering hope. But what we do know for sure is that our life will not end, nor will it ever end, because death has been swallowed up and we shall be changed for the better. We shall be transformed for the better, and it will exceed our expectations. It will go beyond our imaginations, and we will be down the course for completion and fulfillment. You say, well, how is this all possible? We can't explain it. But it is real because Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ. That's the only explanation it is. The power, the meaning, the beauty, the way that it surpasses everything that we can comprehend is because Jesus is the Christ, Son of God. And we enter into that journey, and that journey which is eternal, it's forever, it's ongoing. And along the way, there will be discovery after discovery, surprise, beauty after beauty. That's a gift. It happens because he is risen. It happens because he is resurrected. And that's our certainty. We see a different Jesus, knowing that we are forgiven and knowing that we are freed. We can see that he is the Son of God, not just the teacher, not just the gentle Jesus, not just the justice bringer, but he is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen.